JMLWRadio.com network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Strigger, as always, joined by Dylan. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, Strigger. How's it going?
Yeah, pretty much going well here. We're kind of in the situation that we're opening up basically society, I guess you can say, step by step now, and that's part of the reason that we've not been doing shows for the last 2 weeks. There was a lot going on for me here, personally, professionally, mostly professionally. My parents were over to visit one weekend, so that fell through for that weekend to tape, and was a lot of things going on in your life as well. So, this is the time now that we picked to, once again, do another Eastern Lariat.
But actually, it was a great time, I think, to do it, with how things have gone. I think now we're at the point in the month where a lot of the major stuff has, you know, it's kind of come and gone. A lot of the topics we're going to talk about today going on with All Japan, NOAH, on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat, I have comprehensive coverage of the Dragon Gate King of Gate tournament that I've watched every match of so far. Currently three shows in on there. All of the first round matches of the blocks. You get every match coverage. I was, you know, if things were normal, we would have done the Best of the Super Juniors around the time of year. But it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen right now anyway. But we'll give you all the coverage you want on that. So check that out if you can. And hopefully everybody enjoys the show and is doing good in this crazy-ass environment, in this crazy-ass world we live in right now, Striga. But hopefully everything is safe with you, with the world society opening up for you.
Yeah, for now, it seems like it. But we're still obviously having to take a lot of care right now that the infection doesn't spread like it did in April. So yeah, that brings us back to wrestling, and as you said, wrestling is very affected right now, or still very affected by the entire coronavirus situation, which led to, as you mentioned, your comprehensive coverage of the King of Gate, a very comprehensive tournament, to be quite honest, because they only do the tournament matches and that's it. So it's very, very easy to follow along with these shows, and also it's very easy to follow along with your reviews of the tournament matches.
And I don't understand why anybody does these boring undercard matches like some of the shows we're probably about to talk about.
It's getting painfully obvious when you watch these Dragon Gate shows that it's just so much better to have these short shows. It's just a breeze to watch.
I said it from the beginning. Not only that, all the matches actually matter. And I think that's something that really drags on me more than the wrestling, more than the empty arena setting. But all of it together, when you have these meaningless matches, what is really the point of them like adding on to the show?
Well, in some cases, it's just, I guess, about producing content for a promotion that we're going to talk about in a bit here.
That is true. Let me ask you this, because on the reviews on the Patreon, I always make this point, so I'm going to throw it to you on this and ask your opinion. I think Dragon Gate's arena that they run the King of Gate in is by far the worst of all of the promotions. Just the arena, never mind the wrestling, just the aesthetic of it.
It doesn't really look good, no. It's the Lapis Hall in Kyoto, where they usually have their Dragon Gate Next shows. The Prime zone shows.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look good. It's crazy that 2AW Arena, or 2AW, what's it called? 2AW Square,
right,
is much better than the actual building that Dragon Gate is running in.
Yes.
I don't know.
Totally agree.
It's the 2AW Square. It has this really nice lighting about it that makes the show look good, even though there is, it's really nothing more than a fancy garage, to be quite honest.
Well, all the other ones I think are okay, to be honest with you. But the Dragon Gate one stood out to me as, this building looks super cheesy, to be honest with you, running it. But I,
what do you think about the one that Noah is using?
Oh, I like the Noah one, actually. Just on an aesthetic basis. Not all of the matches I like, but just for the aesthetic basis, I think it's fine. Like, to be honest with you, I don't think it's any better or worse.
Yeah.
I think something like All Japan, they benefit from having the wrestlers in the crowd. But just on how it looks, I think the Noah one's probably right near the top, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, like, it's a mostly darkened arena. There's the ring, there's lights. It looks quite good. It doesn't look so... Like, the Dragon Gate Arena, that's really small, and the ring is set in there, and there's just like, I don't know, 3 feet between the ring and the walls, actually, so it looks really tiny, too.
Yeah, and the closet.
That, too. yeah, DDT does their shows from Shinjuku Face, actually.
Yeah.
So, that has a good look, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely one of the better ones as well, because they use that. But I will say, like I said, aesthetics aside of the building, I've liked the tournament on the Dragon Gate show. We didn't really talk about it that much, to be honest with you, before doing the show. But I do think that, especially the first two nights, I liked. The third night kind of fell off to me, personally. I thought I thought the second night was really good, actually.
Yes.
Like, pretty much all the first three matches were recommended.
Yeah, yeah. Let's quickly go over some of the matches. I
sure.
really, really liked the Kaito Ishida versus Jake Lee one. That's the one that you initially picked. Jason Lee, of course. Yeah. Jason Lee, that you picked initially to be one of the standout matches. And I got to say, both guys really delivered in this match. Kaito Ishida has been outstanding for a couple of months already. Jason Lee is slowly but surely getting more and more light shed on him. So that's really good for him. Kai versus Genki Horiguchi, I really liked. I really liked that Naoki Doi versus Bika Shimizu was kept short. So that was good. Yamato versus Ryo Saito was really, really good. That I liked too. And Yosuke Santa Maria against Suzumu Yokosuka was good too.
I was surprised more people didn't think that was the match of the night. That was on night one, both of the last two you said. I agree with you. I thought Yamato and Saito. And let me tell you, Saito is like my guy in Dragon Gate.
I had to think about you when I watched the match and I saw, hey, this is not the comedy character Ryo Saito, because it's the sincere Ryo Saito really wanting to win the match. And that's that was one of your points that you always made last year when we talked about Dragon Gate, that Ryo Saito is a very good guy.
Yeah, like, he was probably one of my MVPs of the last tournament, the last year's tournament in Dragon Gate. And this year, I thought he had a really standout match with Yamato. Again, and I'm not even a fan of someone like Yosuke Santa Maria at all in the main event. You know, the Exotico gimmick, I think, is really can be interesting, but I've just never been a fan of that style in Dragon Gate. But here, I thought it all worked. Susumu deserves credit as well, but I thought they both worked their ass off and had a really great main event that, you know, I thought Yosuke Santa Maria did a great job in the main event too. So I really liked that. The first two, you know, you mentioned the other shows on the other matches on the night too that I really liked as well. So, the first two nights were really good. The third night was okay. I wasn't a fan of some of the other matches, especially the last two, but, you know, it was okay. But the first two were a lot better, I think. And I, like I said, I feel like I'm the high man on some of these because I've heard some other stuff before. Online and on Twitter that maybe that the style isn't benefiting of the empty arena setting, but I actually think they've done a pretty good job, which is a point I've always made on Dragon Gate for the last year, and something that really made me want to watch them again after so far detached from their product for so long, is that I feel like they have much more variety of people now on the cards. They do a great job. Someone like Okuda wasn't around, you know, 3 years ago. Jason Lee doing great work and stuff like that. So Kai, somebody you would never expect in Dragon Gate. I think they've got a lot of good variety on the show. They're a really well-rounded roster, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, they are doing matches that are mostly in the 10 to 15 minute range, so that's good.
Yep.
Very good for an empty arena setting. These long matches don't really work. There are exceptions, of course, and we're going to talk about one exception to the rule on this show. I noted that Strong Machine J has got a lot better. He wrestled Eita, and I thought he moved much better than I remembered him. I didn't like the tag team or the six-man tag run that he had at all to be a debut for him or a debuting storyline for him. I was not a fan of that because I didn't think that the act really got over well. He was very green still, and he still was green here. And the story of the match was that he made mistakes, which led to Eita winning, which was a good storyline for a young guy like him in the match. And I also liked the finish here, so it was a good start for Strong Machine J here to improve. You mentioned the empty arena, and you mentioned Okuda, and the match that he had with BB Hulk was one of those examples that I was talking about when we first talked about empty arena wrestling. And I think I made the point about Katsuki Nakajima, and I'm going to talk about him later too. The strikes, if you land strikes, or if you try to use strikes in a match in an empty arena, those strikes need to connect. And Hulk did these atrocious knee strikes, which didn't... The one thing is they didn't make a sound, and the second thing is the camera was so close in because of the small arena, the small room they were doing the show in, that you could clearly see that none of the strikes were connecting whatsoever. So that does not work in an empty arena. You gotta throw strikes like Katsuki Nakajima does. That sound like gunshots.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, you have to put it in there. Hulk, man, he was one of my favorites for a long time, but he's pretty broken down now. I think much everybody can agree with that. Even now, even with his gimmick, he's more or less basically admitting, like, I can't go, so let me do this heel gimmick, pretty much with RE.
Still does some flips, he does, but mostly he's working like a veteran heel that suffered multiple injuries, which he did. So yeah, that's basically him now.
Yeah, he can't. And putting him against Okuda is a bad comparison because he's a lot better at what you just said than Hulk is in this very same match.
Mm.
But I thought Okuda looked really good in that match, actually.
Oh, he is so, great. He is really great.
Yeah.
I really think that they brought him in with the idea that he's eventually going to be the successor to Mochizuki, because Mochizuki's style obviously is very unique in the Dragon Gate setting, that he's more of a shooter than a flyer, and Okuda is exactly that, so eventually he's going to be the next Mochizuki there.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree. They paired him together earlier on, and he's holding that mantle pretty well. I think they've got some really good things going on. I think Dragon Gate's kind of a sleeper promotion in a lot of ways, because they still have this kind of reputation, so to speak. But I think if you look at their roster, there's a lot of great variety on it that I think kind of goes unsaid and undiscovered among a lot of people right now. But I've really enjoyed the tournament. They've got, and I like, too, just the entire promotional structure with the factions and things like that. I think they do a much better job than many other groups, some of which we may be talking about in a little bit.
Mm.
But really, every company, I think that the factions don't mean more in any one company than they do in Dragon Gate, and they built a whole company-wide storyline with the generational factions, and I think that makes every match a little bit extra bit interesting, and I think they've got a grasp of that more than any other company. So I think they're an interesting company to watch, and I think they've impressed me so far in this. And I think, like I said, last year they had the Kobe World show that they were building to by the time I started watching this King of Gate. This year that's not going to happen. But I am if things continue on what I've seen in this first round, then I'm going to continue watching, even on their crazy subscription service that they have.
It'll be fast.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they take their stuff down after a week on the other services. So you can't just be like, oh, I'll wait till the end of this whole tournament to watch the whole thing. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Now they're gonna take it down. You gotta get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You brought it up. It's one of the news that came out over the weekend on Tokyo Sports, and I put it up on our Twitter, and it really got a lot of traction because people obviously loved the idea. You said we would right now be in the middle of the Best of the Super Junior Tournament, or at the start of the Best of the Super Junior Tournament, to be more precise. And Hiromu Takahashi came up with this idea in a Tokyo Sports article where he said that unfortunately, obviously, the BOSJ is not happening right now, but he still wants it to go down, and the idea that he has is that he wants to run the Best of the Super Junior and the G1 Climax simultaneously in October, with both tournament finals taking place on the final day of the tour, and the fans get to vote for the match that would be the main event of the eventual final Super Show, either the Super Junior Final or the G1 Climax Final. And I saw your tweets about it, Dylan. You loved the idea.
Oh, I thought it was a really good idea, in fact. But even more what I was saying on Twitter was I think that they are really smart with how they are setting up Hiromu to say all this, pretty much. I think that's really great because he had a great idea here. And something that you could see the reaction, and not just me, but it seemed like so many people really loved this idea of putting them together. And I think it's something that as someone like me, who always calls for the juniors to get a little bit more spotlight and more of a push, and I think they can contribute more and be bigger stars, I think this is a great step towards what, you know, if I took over the company 2 weeks ago, this would be something I would already have in my mind. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing I would want to do. So I really like that they brought it up. And Hiromu, again, is the one that should be saying this as the representative of the company. And he's the star in the junior division that, you know, is who you want out there pushing these big ideas, much like Naito in the heavyweight division. And a lot of his promos would have certain ideas and stuff like that. I thought it was interesting that Hiromu brought up the idea of having a poll to determine the final, whether it be the junior, the BOSJ final or the G1 final on the same show, who would main event.
And it's very smart for a different reason, because the match that was supposed to happen and that got cancelled because of the coronavirus situation was Naito versus Takahashi, heavyweight champion versus junior heavyweight champion. So they could go into that direction when New Japan returns from their hiatus.
Absolutely. I think that would be a wonderful thing and a great test for Hiromu as a star that can hang with the heavyweights. You know, I think that's great. I think Naito is the top star of the company, so who better to be thrown in with somebody that has links in storyline and real life, everything. So I think that's a great thing to do, and it's just hard to tell with them right now, and when it comes to New Japan specifically, because they are the company that has been on the down low for this entire time. Yeah. They haven't done anything, any matches, any shows, and they've gotten praise from it from many people, but that leads to some unpredictability going forward onto just exactly how they're even going to get back into any kind of storylines when they plan on coming back. But I think that's definitely one they really need to go to at some point. Hiromu and Naito is a hot match on any, you know, no matter what happens, whether there's a storyline to it or not. People are already going to have a storyline for it, you know? So yeah. you don't even need to really build it up that much. And now you've planted all these seeds for it that everyone's anticipating it. I think it's a great idea, and I hope that they follow through on what they're saying right now, because it'll make the G1 shows a lot better. Again, even on the regular shows, even if the fans are back by then, cut the bullcrap six-man tags out. Nobody cares. Put the Best of the Super Juniors on there. Now you have a full card of great things. I'm all for it, and I hope that they do that.
Yeah, you know, I think they are using the resources very smartly right now that are already there in Japan with using Tokyo Sports to further a storyline like that, or to plant seeds for a storyline like that. They have their own service. They have their TV Asahi partner in the background, so they have a lot of resources to do storylines, even though they are not running. And you gotta say, as you said, they got a lot of praise. All this empty arena wrestling is obviously coming to a time that wrestling isn't exactly the smartest thing to run. That I think that goes unquestioned, and we're still talking about a lot of empty arena wrestling, but you know, it's probably not the smartest thing to do right now. But the promotions, they in some situations they don't just have an option to running. Even like in Germany, the Bundesliga returned because a lot of clubs had severe money issues that came from not running and not getting any TV money, which is a completely different topic to talk about. But it shows how dependent they are on the money from TV, and that is not a good thing. But it's not, football isn't the only sport that works like that. Wrestling too, so. That goes unquestioned. But let's run this through. You said, cut all the six-man tags. Dylan, how would this tour look like if they did both tournaments at the same time?
I think that you would have to have all of the shows, a similar schedule to last year, just 5 G1 matches and 5 Best of Super Junior matches on each show. Like very simple way to do it. Pretty much, I think it would work perfectly that way.
So that means they would still have 20 participants each.
Yes. That way you would have 10 matches each show, 10 people on each block. And So 20 people in each tournament.
The thing is, right now politicians in Europe are discussing the travel warning that still is going, held up worldwide. But they are most politicians are talking about lifting it for Europe. So I don't think that, maybe in October the situation is better, but right now, even in June or July, I don't think there will be any intercontinental traveling. So if they have to cut out the American wrestlers on the roster, do you think that the tournaments would be less than 20 people?
I think that, I don't know if their plan would be to cut people off, but I think that they still have enough people, just Japanese, that it would be okay. At least with heavyweights. The juniors, they may have to do some shuffling around on that end. I don't have the roster right in front of me, but I think they might have to cut that down a little bit, maybe bring in some outsiders even if they wanted to do that, or maybe use some young lions as well. That we can do. We still don't know the whereabouts of Kawato, so so if he's around, that this may be time to bring to dust him off wherever he is right now. But I think they could do it, but it just depends on if they would want to, pretty much.
Yeah, no, and it's an interesting thing to look at, how that would all go down. And if you cut all the six-man tags, what do the other wrestlers do in the meantime?
Social distancing. I don't know, but if they're not in the G, like if they're not in the top 20 wrestlers, I think it's okay if they have a tour off pretty much in the company.
Yeah, okay, social distancing is a good topic to make a transition here to Pro Wrestling Noah, since Ratels, they took social distancing very seriously as they broke up, Dylan.
Unbelievable.
We kind of went through this before we started recording this show, but we still have to go back. So this all, I don't know if this all started, but last year Yohei turned on Hayada to join Stinger, correct?
I think it was at the very end of 2018, if my memory's right, but they started at the start of the year. He was turning. So yes, at the start of last year. 2019, yes.
He was with Stinger. Then they turned him back because it wasn't working.
Yes.
Now, they had this match, or they set up the match for the junior title between then-champion Yoshinari Ogawa and Kotaro Suzuki, with Kotaro Suzuki attacking Ogawa, even though they were in Stinger together. They had the match, and after the match, they had a friendly handshake, and they made up, and they were still doing Stinger. Then, Hayata turns on Yohei on May 9 at their show for the with the national championship in the main event.
Yes.
So the junior heavyweight tag team title match ends in a no contest. It was Hayata and Yohei, who were champions at the moment, against Stinger, Kotaro Suzuki, and Yoshinari Ogawa. So yeah, Hayata joins in with Kotaro Suzuki and Yoshinari Ogawa. We thought.
Right.
One day later, they have the decision match for the held-up championship. It ends in a double countout. They restart the match. Then Hayata and Yoshinari Ogawa beat Tadasuke and Yohei, the remaining Rattles members. It comes to a big, like, shoving contest inside the ring where Harada joins in, where Seki Yoshioka and Hajime Ohara joined in. Kotoge was there because Kotoge, he also turned on Kotaro Suzuki after just joining Stinger a couple of weeks ago.
Kotoge's been in Stinger for ever.
Has he been?
Since last year. Yeah, he that was in July.
That's
like
true.
Last year.
That's true.
Yeah, where have you been?
I don't know where I was. I don't know. This is all confusing to me. But you're right, of course. You're right, of course.
Okay, that
but
is true.
I was right with the point that he turned on Stinger. That is what happened.
Yes, that is true. And Kotaro turned and then came back, so there has been multiple turns on Stinger as well. Turning in and out. Stinger's just a very dysfunctional group right now. I think that's
I
where
saw,
that's,
I saw this great GIF on Twitter where this I think it's from, is it from Community, the GIF where the guy with the pizza runs into the room and everything is burning.
Like, oh yeah,
that would be Chris Ridgeway when returning to Noah.
Oh, that's true. And he on the roster page, he's out of Stinger too. So some
did he turn on them too?
Yeah,
nobody noticed.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody noticed what he's been up to, but I miss Ridgeway, man. I wish he would come back. He's a great worker. Mm. But, yeah.
But the thing is, okay. So there is now basically three groups, and there is still Kongo, and Kongo didn't play a role in this.
No.
But
nobody cares about Hao and Neo. Anyway, it's fine.
It's crazy how that works, right?
Yeah.
And now there is this group that is it Kotoge? It's Kotoge, Harada, and Yoshioka, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Kotoge, Harada.
Full Throttle.
Full Throttle, that's it. That's the name, right. Then you have the Sugiura Gun Juniors, Hajime Ohara, and...
No, he's Full Throttle.
Oh, yeah. Then I made it. Then I made the wrong names. So... Who is in Full Throttle, Dylan? Who is it? I'm confused.
Kotoge, Ohara, and Yoshioka are in Full Throttle.
Yeah, I misplaced Harada and Ohara. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Harada is still with Tadasuke and Yohei, but they are not Rattles anymore. okay. They will never use that name again, as that is explained, until Hayata returns to them inevitably in 2 months, probably.
That is the entire point I want to make about this turn. The Yohei turn didn't work out because apparently those two are so close that they have real issues of working against one another and pretending to dislike one another. And it's the same thing with Hayata now. Like when he turned to Ogawa, he failed to look accordingly. He just stared at Yohei, and there was nothing there that said, "I hate you now." I don't think that Hayata has the right, I don't know, what's the right facial expressions to be that heel that they want him to be.
Well, his whole deal is that he's super stoic.
Exactly.
He's like whatever role he's in, he's not exactly an Academy Award winning level actor, I would say, by any means. I will say this, like I said, because there's a lot to take in with the juniors right now at NOAA. I think you worked yourself all over the place. But so this thing that happened on the 9th with Hayata and Yohei, Hayata turned to join Stinger. Okay. So Stinger, him, Kotaro, and Ogawa are now a faction. The thing about this was 1 billion times better than the Yohei turn, in my opinion. Like, I think the Yohei turn was literally one of my least favorite moments ever. Like, it was so dumb. But that doesn't mean this was good either. And the biggest problem with this is, how can anyone be invested in this storyline with Hayata and Yohei for the reasons I just said earlier? Like, they've turned and gotten back together. Just last year, they were having matches for the title, even together.
When they were friendly again.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, they face each other, they team up. It's a constant back and forth between these two. And there's no reason to think that Hayata won't return to Yohei and reform this team, if not the full Retels unit, in just a matter of months. And then you have the 10th, where you have this whole full throttle thing that starts off. Like you said, the execution with the shoving and all that, and the double count out, was a little convoluted. But
it looked funny because one guy was probably having a cue that he had to wait for like 30 seconds to start shoving, and then everybody started in and joined in shoving. It looked really corny.
Yeah, totally. Like, the execution was poor, but I think the full throttle group has a lot of legs to it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these three are three of the best ones, like, out of all of them. So I'm very happy that they're all together. I think O'Hara desperately needed a fresh coat of paint. Even in Sugiura-gun, you know, it was just, they never want to go with him for some reason. I don't know why. You know, so another reboot for him. I don't think it'll go that far, but at least they could have some really, I think him and Yoshioka are an interesting team. Kotage is a great, I've said many times, he's one of my favorite people overall in terms of charisma and matchmaking or in-ring style. Yoshioka, I think they've done a really poor job of introducing, to be honest with you. Ever since he's come in, he's dropped multiple falls, which you have a very clear blueprint in All Japan of how to debut someone like Kodama, mm-hmm. and NOAA has not followed that at all with Yoshioka.
So about Yoshioka, I was thinking that they debuted him, and then they had him lose to go in the storyline direction that he, even though he had a fresh start, he needed another fresh start. But then he just teams up with a guy that he teamed up with before.
Yep.
And the third guy. So I don't know what this Yoshioka start in NOAA is supposed to tell me.
That he's at the bottom of the roster. I think I've been juiced. Yeah, like I said, but he's a talented guy. I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys are like, to me, all of these guys have value. Like, all the people we're talking about, even Yohei, who I don't like at all in the ring, he's a charismatic guy and can talk. So he at least adds something. He's a character that stands out as well. So the guy adds something. I think everybody on this group that we're talking about, on all three of these groups that we're talking about, has a place on the roster. And I also will say, they desperately needed to shake some things up in this division because the Stinger and Retel stuff had long since played out. You know, so they needed a fresh start, and I love the group with the full throttle. I hope that they get behind all three of these guys, actually. I really hope that they can do that. You have Tanaka, who is still hanging around in NOAA, pretty much. And you have a lot of interesting matchups, and they've kind of reshuffled the deck a little bit. I think when that first turn happened with Hayata, I was so down on everything. I thought it was horrible. And then the second night happened, and I was much more optimistic because of the new group. If they had kept the groups as they were, I think this is really terrible, even though I think the actual talent is so high. I think the junior division itself is the, you know, the most important to NOAA of any of the major companies. But it's like they were going down a really bad road, I felt like. And they did a little bit better with the Full Throttle, but the execution was poor. And I can see where you kind of got a little confused on it, but I think it's not that confusing.
Like, no, it's true. I just got mixed up with the names and everything and the entire thing, how it went down. And I gotta say, they had issues last year that we brought up. And they probably felt, and I read that too a lot on Twitter, that they felt they needed a restart or a reboot. And that is basically what this feels like, except for Hayata and Yohei.
Yeah, and that's the problem at the end of it, is that they're at the center of all this, and we've seen the same story play out many, many times, and to no success in any of the other incarnations, pretty much. So it's going to be tough to how they pull this off. I just hope that they shift the spotlight away from all that into the Full Throttle. Like, if they could get behind that as the new force of the division, I'm all for it. But if they focus on more Rattel's drama, then I just don't think, just like I said, ultimately, even if you like these guys as wrestlers, and Hayata I'm ambivalent on, I'm not like a huge fan, but I also don't hate him or anything, but even if you think these guys are the greatest wrestlers in the world, like even if these were my favorite wrestlers, I don't know how you can be interested in this storyline or these characters the way they've been played out. So I hope that this restart that you mentioned, I hope that it takes off and leads to some good things.
Yeah, we'll have to wait for that. And you mentioned Minoru Tanaka. Yet the match with Sugiura for the national title at the end of March. Then he had one match in Asuka Pro on April 7. Came back for the NOAH show on April 19. And since then hasn't been seen. So we got to wait and see if or when he returns to
we
NOAH.
Need you.
Yeah.
We need you, Tanaka. And Ridgeway too.
Sure. Sure. Or maybe they can be attacked. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, see, we just thought of the same thing at the same time. See? But I feel like they're trying to do some different things, too, all over the company, not even just the junior division right now. Did you see that story where Shrek and Hideki Suzuki are out of Suzuki-gun as well? Or Sugiura-gun now?
Are they?
Yes, they said something where there was some promo where they said they only want they don't want halftime players or something in there.
Does that mean that Katsuyuki Fujita is out too?
Well, I think he might have been mentioned, but I definitely know. I'm looking at the roster right now, and Suzuki and Shrek are out.
Okay,
Fujita's still in there on the roster page, along with Sakuraba, who's not really a full time guy either. to be honest with you,
so. That doesn't make any sense.
No, but Suzuki, gone from the roster page. So I hope he comes back. Shrek, he can come. That's cool. If not, that's okay too.
I would say. I'm pretty much on the same page with him. It's like I don't think that he's not good. He's trying. So I don't really have anything against him. I think I don't know about him. He is so... There's something about him that I like. I don't know what it is. I think he's so clumsy that I just think it's amazing to see.
Oh, he's fine. He's got a great look, and everything. Yeah. There's, again, much like Yohei, there's a place for somebody like that on the undercards. Mm-hmm. I feel like, even if I'm not a huge fan of his as a wrestler, that's fine. But more importantly, like, if Hideki leaves, that's a big blow to the roster.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm very unhappy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. You know, you mentioned the shows themselves, and they've been solid. I think I watched the entire Sugiura-gun versus Kongo series, and when I started watching the show, I thought it would be dreadful because of the length of the show. But some of the matches actually weren't that bad, and when I read the result, I had no idea why they did 20 minutes of Kitamiya and René Dupree. But the match itself wasn't that bad, to be honest. And Dupree himself, he's done well for himself. He's worked hard in NOAH to get his name back out there in Japanese wrestling. So I gotta respect that. The Sakuraba versus...
Yeah, he's overachieved in NOAH. Even with the team with Dr. Wagner Jr., or EO Dr. Wagner Jr., mm-hmm. he's definitely overachieved in his day and done better than I think many people would have thought.
Absolutely. The Sakuraba versus Yoshiki Inamura match was pretty interesting to see Inamura work with a guy like Sakuraba. And they mostly had a mat-based wrestling match. The juniors were good, of course. Ohara against Neo and Hao against Yoshioka, good matches. And then there's the story of Manabu Soya debuting in Pro Wrestling NOAH, and much like his former Wrestle One associate, Yoshioka, he lost, Dylan.
Yeah, yeah, he did. But, you know, for one thing, losing, there's no shame in losing to Sugira or anything like that. It's just he's not really a focal point at all ever since he's come in or made to feel like a big deal. Just like that first match he came in with. I didn't like how they introduced him in his very first match.
It was horrible.
Yeah, like it wasn't well done at all. The Sugira match is cool that he gets a standout singles match with somebody like that, but between him and Yoshioka, it's clear that they don't they weren't ready to give these guys a huge rocket just yet, if at all. And with Soya, I thought he looked really good actually in both of his matches. You know, like with what he was asked to do, I thought he did, you know, more than good in his matches. But unfortunately, he's just not in a good place right now with the company. I think, like I said, we're talking about all these different changes and moves of the factions. I think it's clear that they're trying to reshuffling the deck up and down right now. I think they're in a tough spot, too. And it really goes back to the start of the year. I feel like, especially now in hindsight, with Go as champion, it feels like they lost a lot of the stability that they had with Kaito when he was still champion. And it feels like the whole company up and down, they're throwing stuff against the wall with Fujita. And I don't know. Like I said, some of it has worked and been good, but there is an air of uncertainty around this entire promotion, I feel like, right now. And that's just another case of it where you bring in new guys and then you have them take falls right away, which I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it.
There is a certain risk of shuffling everything, you know?
Yeah.
It can work out for the greater good of the company, and some guys will be left behind. That is the price that you have to pay for that. But it also can be to the detriment of the company that fans won't take to it. It's a walk on the edge right now.
Well, Strigan, listen, Rene Dupree and EO Dr. Wagner Jr. are champions right now in this company.
Yeah.
You know, like that says it all right there. Nothing against them, but it's clear that, you know, like I said, they're trying a lot of different things right now. Maybe it's a consequence of the empty arena and the virus and all of that they want to try these things now when they're isn't as much risk, you know, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be drawing fans anyway, pretty much. So it's like, if you're going to put these guys over, maybe they'll be a little better off down the road than if you just brought in Rene Dupree randomly. Now you at least have some backstory with him in this team. So, and maybe that's what they're trying to do up and down the card, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. As you said, we got to wait and see how that all develops. It's certainly very interesting to follow and sometimes confusing, as you could hear on my end. But you can explain a lot of things in behind that. And if you take a full look at it, it is not as confusing as I made it out to be.
It may not be quality, though, some of the stuff they're doing, like Great Muta in the main events and stuff, like we saw on that one show. I'm not a big fan of that either. Muda getting all this influence and power and stuff.
As I said on our last show we did with Isaac, Abema seem to be huge fans of Muta.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. Muta to me just doesn't do it for me. You know,
no. They had this main event with Muta and Maro Fuji against Mochizuki and Sakuraba, and it went 21 minutes. It wasn't good.
Yeah, it will not be in my match of the year rankings, at least. But you know, it's clear what they were going for. It was never going to be that, but it just depends on your tolerance and love of Great Muta, I guess. I just don't think he has that kind of cachet with Noah. Like ultimately, that's my main problem. Like, if it were in New Japan, at least I could rationalize it. In Noah, I can't. So it's unfortunate. But a lot of moving parts right now in Noah, pretty much. But some of the matches were good, you know, when it comes to that, at least. I think the talent is there right now. I think when they can settle things down and get back to having a distinct plan going forward and moving forward in that direction, whatever that direction may be, I think they could do some great things, you know, when it comes to that.
Yeah, they can. They can. A lot of moving parts here in Pro Wrestling Noah. Some moving parts as well, Dylan, in All Japan Pro Wrestling. They also are doing their set of MT Arena shows in 2AW Square, as we mentioned. And since we last recorded, they started doing, when we recorded, they already did the first show of this kind, but they now are doing a Wednesday special where they run one match shows. And the first one of it was Hokuto Omori against Tatsuya Hanami. It was All Japan Fight Club number one on May 6th. Really like Tatsuya Hanami. That is not a secret that I'm high on this guy, and he is very good. Hokuto Omori, of course, is very good as well. So I like that approach of giving these two a spotlight. The other week was Black Mensore's Superhuman Pursuit, where he wrestled Takao Omori and won by DQ because Omori used the X-Bomber and he wasn't allowed to do such. What do you think about these one-match shows?
The one-match shows are cool. Before I say anything more on that, I just want to say one more thing about Noah. I would recommend everyone check out Sugira versus Katsuhiko Nakajima.
Oh, I completely missed to talk about that. I'm sorry. Of course, I wanted to talk about that match too. So yeah, just go ahead.
So it was a great match, pretty much. it was for the national title. Again, another thing changing with the title changing hands. But they did a really good job. I mean, what can you say? Sugira, like, the best worker ever, pretty much. You know, like, every time this guy goes out, you can have faith that everything will go okay, regardless of whatever times we're in, whatever difficulties anything may be facing, the company, the world, finances, if there are a million fans or zero fans, Sugira is very reliable, which kind of, to be honest with you, I would have rather have kept the title, but it's okay. Nakajima's great too, so I have no problem, really. It's not like a very minor quibble just because Sugira's so awesome, pretty much. But I hope they continue the trend of what Sugira was doing, where he faced Minoru Tanaka and had a really good match. I hope Nakajima can face the juniors, which they also had in the same show, which I was heartbroken that the Kaito and Kotage match was clipped, because what we saw was really good of it, and those are two of my favorite guys. But I hope they continue that role with the national title, that Nakajima can do some junior matches too.
I think he will, because on the Muta Fantasia show, they also did Kaito Kiyomiya against Hao. Which was another interdivisional match between the juniors and the heavyweights. So I think Nakajima is a good guy to have matches with the likes of Minoru Tanaka. Or even think about Nakajima against Harada. That would be awesome. So there's a lot of things that you can do. So I'm in favor of Nakajima winning the belt, actually. And I didn't want to forget to talk about the match, but I don't know. It kind of happened in all of this confusion that I brought myself up onto. Nakajima and Sugiura definitely awesome, and I mentioned on the beginning of the show, Nakajima's strikes are just so great, and they come off so well in an empty arena. And the comparison I made was with Hulk. And for example, we talked about John Moxley and Lance Archer at the beginning of the year in the Tokyo Dome, where the strikes that Moxley didn't land either. But it wasn't as obvious in this big arena of the Tokyo Dome, where a lot of fans were in attendance, as it was with Hulk in this intimate setting with no fans. So there's just a way to go with the strikes. And Nakajima, I think he's the perfect guy to display that. So yeah, the match was awesome. And it is this great formula of Noah heavyweight matches that is completely different from New Japan's formula of heavyweight wrestling, where it's a lot of it is based on reversals. When in Noah, the basic match formula is much more methodical and with a much more technical, and also much more. It has a more of a real fight feeling to it, because it always looks like that the guys, they really have to work exceptionally hard to get the win in the end, whereas in New Japan it sometimes looks just so effortlessly.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it's been by design. I think it's been that way for a long time now, yeah. If not just forever.
It has been like that ever since they focused on Sugiura as the main guy.
That, no matter what era Sugiura's in, that's going to be his. He's always going to fit that style, I think, no matter what the company focuses on. Just because, like, again, he's such a great... I love Sugiura, man. But the only... My main takeaway from that is that you really hated that Hulk, those kicks that he had there.
I absolutely hated it, yes.
It's okay. Nobody will blame you for that. But yeah, I agree with you. And that's why that's why I've always kind of gravitated more to the Noah style. Even when people were down on the company or whatever, I like that style a lot better than New Japan's version, which feels like, you know, exactly what you said, a lot of counters, and just also that a lot of the matches don't really matter to the last 5 minutes. I think Noah is much more methodical and spread out in their matches a lot of the time. So, yeah, I think that was another example of that in this match. And, yeah, I'm glad we could talk about it.
Exactly. So now on to All Japan Pro Wrestling, the Wednesday specials. What do you think about the one-match shows?
Love them. That was actually an idea I thought of very early on in all of this when we started having no-fan shows. I thought that would be an interesting idea. I didn't know that anyone would actually do it, though. So, shout-outs to All Japan, who came up with their idea. Not I'm saying they stole it or anything. I didn't even say it. It's just something I thought of. Like, hey, like, you know, it was around the time I said cut out all the bullcrap six-man tags and stuff. Like, what if you just had a single-match show? I think that would be kind of cool. My idea was for big matches, though, but these are very small, like, very short matches, 5 minutes. And 5 minutes and less, actually. The other one was even less. But... very short matches, very easy to watch. It's just something that, like, hey, if you have the service, they let you know, we're still around, we still got wrestling. I think that they should keep doing it, to be honest with you. Even after fans come back, if they wanted to do, like, a very private show just to break up the monotony, just have, like, a one-match type of deal, maybe between young guys. Someone like Hanami, who's a young guy getting some work, too. Nikki is going to be around soon in All Japan. So you've got guys on the roster now that can do these kind of matches, and it'll be beneficial to them to have a spotlight match on a day. Even if it's just a random match with no fans, it's still a cool thing. So I think it's a fantastic idea from All Japan, and I really like both of the first two matches.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, it's such an easy thing to do. These
All
Japan shows, they are not live. They schedule them, and then they put them up on their streaming service. So it's not like a live stream in the case of DDT. Mm-hmm. And so they are probably at the place for a day, and they just tape some stuff, and why not tape just some single matches for some other releases? So it keeps the service busy, it keeps new content coming, so it's a great idea, actually. And I was really glad when I read that Takuro Nikki is coming in. He's one of the latest guys that debuted in Wrestle One before they closed. And we talked about the young guys on our draft show, and also when Isaac was on here, that it's probably going to be hard for these young guys to find work because they don't know a lot of people yet in the business. But with Takuro Nikki, he apparently know someone, or that he got work because the word came out that he was good. And there are some other guys that could come over, and right now it kind of looks like that All Japan is absorbing what was left from Wrestle One.
Yeah, that's true. I did see somewhere where Noah said that they teased bringing in more Wrestle One guys. I forget who said it, but that could happen as well. But yeah, All Japan right now,
they could bring in Inaba, actually. That's what I read.
Yeah, that would make sense as well. But I think the main guys are, you know, with the Infants.
Yeah.
They are the like, when you have them, you have a whole stable of people now. You know that they're serious. So now they're bringing some of these younger guys. I think it's a great look for All Japan, and I'm really glad that they were able to do it. So I think they've done a great job, and they definitely utilized them a lot better than Noah, so that is another good thing, too. But yeah, I'm really happy for the young guys of Wrestle 1, because those are the ones I was worried about most. So I'm really happy for them.
Yeah, exactly. So the show that was uploaded on May 16, in my opinion, was a very good show. The main takeaway of this show, of course, was the junior heavyweight title match between Susumu Yokosuka and Hikaru Sato. That went 23 minutes, and I said at the beginning of the show, there are exceptions to the rule that empty arena matches should be short, and in my opinion, this was one. Right now, we have it at a rating of 6.22 on Cage Match. I was very quick to put the match into the match guide because I thought it was an outstanding match. I thought that both guys worked so hard, and it always is such a pleasure to see Yokosuka work the style of match that he can't do often in Dragon Gate. And on the other side, you had Hikaru Sato, who sold everything that Yokosuka threw at him so masterfully. Like this mid-match backdrop that he sold like he was dead in the waters was so outstanding. And all the arm work and leg work they did throughout the match, I thought this was a great match.
Absolutely. I think so, too. I think that's a very low rating Cage Match, actually. Hopefully it can bump up soon. But I think something that hurts this match is that they had the one in January that was better. But that doesn't take away from this one, though, because I think they were both really good. Now, I definitely think the January one was stronger than this one, but this was still really good, though. And it had the handicap of being in the empty arena, too. I loved Sato's performance. I really think Sato is a top three performer in All Japan, in my opinion. So underrated at every aspect of his game. Charismatic, great technician, good strikes, can sell. Like, I think he has everything I want in a wrestler. I think he's so really underrated and also undervalued in a lot of ways to the company, because you can have a match like this really stand out. Yokosuka is awesome. I was really surprised when he lost in the King of Gate the first round, although I mentioned that.
By the way, Dylan, I wanted to make that point earlier when we talked about it. So Yokosuka lost to Yusuke Santamaria.
Right.
While Yokosuka beat Hikaru Sato.
Oh, yeah.
Which in a kayfabe sense, of course, means that Yusuke Santamaria is better than Hikaru Sato.
Is that true? Well, I did like Yusuke Santamaria's match, so I think there could be something to that, but not as much as Sato, I would say. I think this match was better than the Yusuke Santamaria match. Though, I love them all in their own ways. Sato, I think, is just a great, like I said, again, a tremendous talent to me, even compared to Susumu, who's a great talent in his own right. I think that these guys have great chemistry, and I would love to see them have another match one day. I really wish that they could have had their match in Dragon Gate, like if everything had worked out normally with the fans and
yes,
everything.
It was already scheduled.
Yeah, exactly. I would have loved to have seen how they would have worked that differently than something like this, because this was very, you said it earlier about the other match, the Noah match, but I thought this was a very methodical and well-done match as well that would have been interesting to see the Dragon Gate crowd's take on it. Uh-huh. But even still, with no fans, I thought this was a really great match, kind of, you know, pretty low-rated by Cage Match, but like I said, hopefully more people can watch it and review it and enjoy it and check it out, you know, because I think this was definitely, I thought that was by far the best match on this All Japan show, for sure.
Yeah, there was, I thought it was a good show to watch because most of the matches were kept short, and this was the best one on the show. Like the Ashino and Kodama against Lee and Iwamoto match too.
That was good.
Miyahara and Yusuke Okada, just great chemistry. I know that you have to have a lot to say about Okada too.
Love Okada. Like I said, that I've always thought that he was like he could be that guy that challenges Kento and be the opposite one, because I like all the other guys. You know, Nomura, he's injured right now. He's really up in the air in general. Lee, I like a lot, but they've yet to get behind, and a lot of people are kind of down on him, actually. But I think he's fine
I think he's
in his role. Yeah, I like him too. I think he gets a little too much knocks against him sometimes. But I do think Okada, if you put them, you know, apples to apples type of comparison, I think Okada has more in his toolbox than Lee does. That's no slight to Lee, but I just think Okada's a spectacular performer. Aoyagi, I really like ever since his heel turn. I think he's really I really think he stepped up, and I really like him. But it's going to be hard with his character, I feel like, to be a kind of rival or world champion level guy. But I think Okada can do it.
With Aoyagi, I think there is kind of a disconnect because he's supposed to be a heel and he still has his total face entrance theme. I don't think that fits the character in any way.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I definitely hear you on that. He needs to get some new music. Maybe it'll be like Kento. Remember when they teased Kento getting new music and it was like a very slightly remixed version of his theme? Pretty much that's what's going to happen with Aoyagi. He's going to tease that he's got new music and it's kind of the same song. Pretty much. But I really think Okada can be like a champion level talent. I also love, I was talking with somebody on this just yesterday, actually, before we recorded, that Ashino is a great test to see what Okada, you know, if Okada can make the jump too. Because the jury's out on Ashino, but he's a smaller guy. At the end of the day, we don't really know what the All Japan fans, the native fans, because I think all the Western fans like Ashino a lot, and he's awesome. So they're like, there's all the reason in the world to like him. But the fans sometimes can be on different wavelengths, such as with Zeus. Everyone here loves him, but the fans never took to him of All Japan. So I would love to see that's one of the most interesting storylines when the fans get back, is how they react to Ashino. And I think if Ashino succeeds, that's going to be an open door. I wish Sato would move up because he's done so much in the junior division that he would have so many fresh matches. But Okada can be a real star for them, I think. Like I said, I think if you put him amongst any of the next dream guys, he beats them with overall skill set. And who knows if that's going to be molded into what he can be, but I really like him, and I think he did a great job in this match with Kento as well. I think all the second half matches on the show, the two tags you mentioned and the junior match, were all really good.
Yes.
So it was a good show.
Yeah, definitely. So the Enfants Terribles guys, they are still going strong. They didn't have Kumarashi on this one, but he also made his debut. We talked about that on our last show. So it will be interesting how they fit within the All Japan cosmos, as you said, once fans can return to the shows.
I think they're doing all the right things with them. Yeah. I don't know how the fans are going to take them.
Booking has been really strong in All Japan lately.
Yeah, I definitely think they've done a great job. With that group specifically, they've done a great job of them, and they're doing all the right things. So there's reason for optimism, I would say, going forward in All Japan. So, and Ashino did a great job in this match. He's totally carried the load. I really think Kodama has done a really good job of fitting in All Japan. He's somebody that I was I liked as a talent, but thought he was kind of indie. You know, he looked indie, but I think he's managed to parlay that into fitting in. He works great with Ashino and this team as well. So I love that they brought the faction over, and I hope that we see a lot more of them getting booked strong to where these guys could be factors in the division as well. But hey, let me ask you one more question on the other tag before we move on. What do you think of the Yoshitatsu and Suwama feud here as they went back at it in their match?
It's pretty much the same thought that I had on our last show, that it doesn't really matter one way or another right now. It's the thing they do. Yoshitatsu is putting a lot of heart in it, as you can see. He's working hard for it to come across like a serious threat to Suwama, but ultimately it's just going to be the first defense for Suwama.
Suwama put him down with a chair after this match.
Yeah,
the tag match. But I thought Yoshitatsu showed a lot of fire in the match. You made the point, so that was interesting. But yeah, all the last three matches were good, I thought, on the show. It was a good show overall. The only thing I didn't like, we kind of overlooked this. So the main event, they had the thing where Kodama and Koji Iwamoto came out.
That would have been my next point, because we just praised the booking.
Well, I liked what they're doing with Infants,
Yeah.
Some of the booking, maybe not as much. But yeah, you could say it then, if you were to make the point.
No, yeah, the booking in general has been really strong over the last couple of months with them setting up new groups. Well, except for maybe Purple Haze. But they did this story after the match, or this angle after the match, where Kodama and Iwamoto went face-to-face in the ring, and Yokosuka just left as the champion.
Yeah.
Obviously, so yeah. Kodama and Iwamoto, they both challenged him. They had a little talk, and Yokosuka left. They left him. He left them standing in the ring.
Well, we know why, because he wasn't going to face either of them.
Yeah, exactly, because backstage, he said that he's going to take on the North Wolf, Hokuto Omori, and he invited him to come over to Dragon Gate for that. How about that?
Geeks. But both of those guys look so goofy with that whole thing. That was so, what was that all about? You said you praised the booking. I don't really agree outside of in fonts, to be honest with you. Because of that, I think the work has been strong from Yokosuka. But then you have Yoshitatsu going for the title. Suwama as champion, I'm already down on. You have Purple Haze, which I completely dislike. And they're kind of turning me off of Zeus. His match with Sato was such a...
Like, yeah, it was a bad match, yes, I know.
Yeah.
The general point about the booking is basically the same that I made on the last show. Remember how the undercards of All Japan shows looked 1 year ago?
Let me finish my point then before you get to that, because we also have on the undercard, who better on the undercard than Tajiri and Kai going for the All Asia Tag Team titles, which is also on this show as well. Which I might like even less than Purple Haze.
No, you can't like that less than Purple Haze.
Tajiri is literally one of my least favorite workers. Alive. Like, literally, I don't even like... Even Kai, I like him.
I think it's a funny team.
Oh my god, come on. The Tajiri... are you going to put the All Asia titles on him, Stringer?
Not me, but Big Dog Shuji probably will.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But I'm not a fan. I guess if you like Kaya Tajiri more, then I can give you a pass on that. But I'm just saying that there are some red flags. I feel like right now that is one of them, in my opinion. That's just me. Maybe you, the listener, disagree. That's okay if you like Kaya Tajiri. Hey, I'll always love people defending Kai and stuff. But even I cannot defend this. So that should tell you something, because I kind of win that Dragon tournament even though everyone told me it will never happen. I don't care. I went on the pick'ems and I put them on with Kai.
I love it. It's just like when Flosh does a pick'em for the G1 with me, because in his case, Hiroki Goto always wins.
And if he picks Sato to win, I'd really be impressed. If he's on there. But no, yeah, Goto, yeah, every year that does happen with Flosh. Yeah. Hey, shout out to Flosh. We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah.
Shout out to Flush. You have. But I'm saying me. But shout outs to Flush. Shout outs to Goto as well. I'm sure I won't be like you in G1.
I'm pulling back the curtain, Dylan. Here we have this new chat within our admin center on Cage Match. And you get a notification whenever you get a new message on the chat. And I got this notification a couple of days ago, and I had no idea who messaged me, because I basically there was nothing that came to my mind why someone would message me. And Flosh did message me, and the only thing that I saw in the chat was a picture of Hiroki Goto that he messaged me.
I love that.
So I messaged him a picture of Black Mansory. I thought that was a good counterpoint.
Oh, I mean, who better to counter with than Black Mansory? Of course. You should have messaged him a picture of... what if he had messaged him a picture... If I were in that chat, I would have messaged a picture of Pink Mansory back.
That's interesting idea. Yeah, sure. But back to All Japan. Where were we?
All Japan booking from now to last year.
Yeah, exactly. So my point was that... Basically, on the undercards, they have done a lot better compared to last year. I don't know. You don't have to be a fan of Purple Haze, but they are a group that sticks together, and they are having some matches on the undercard, and they have storylines on the under to mid card, Which wasn't the
That's true.
Which wasn't the case last year, because they always had the same matches on the undercard, brought in guys like Nishimura appeared for some reason suddenly, then Masanobu Fuchi was still there, Ultimo Dragon came in for some stints. There was no real consistency, and now they have a consistency with the groups that they established, with Jin, Purple Haze, and Force Terrible coming in, Kento and Yoshitatsu being a team. They kind of got Akira Francesco in that group too. Kai and Tajiri, you don't have to like them, but they are a team. So they have grouped up some guys that are being consistent teams on the under to mid card.
That is true. You know, they've always had sub teams, but it does feel like there is an effort to build up more stuff like that. People that are paired together and such. So I will give you that on the undercards and things like that. Fuchi is gone. I really like a lot of the young guys they've got. I think they're showing good signs of progression too.
Dan
which
Tamura
I think
especially. We have talked about him on the last show too, and he had this match here once again, teaming with Yuma Aoyagi against Shuji Ishikawa and Okuto Omori, and I really like when he's working with the bigger guys, because he is already developing this fierce underdog fire that, for example, Kento had in a lot of his title matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree with you. I think that's really something where they have improved on for sure, is the guys on the undercard developing more, the younger type of people. New faces coming in, I think, helps freshen things up as well. Yeah, the company's good and good to watch right now, but I do think there are some red flags. I also really like, we mentioned him a little bit, but the North Wolf, I'm becoming a huge fan of this guy, to be honest with you. I think he's really improved a lot. Even that match with Kodama that we talked about in the last show, I even mentioned then that I thought Omori actually stood out as much as anybody, whether Ashino, whoever. I think Omori's done a great job. I love the North Wolf, whole thing about it. Like, yeah, everything about the North Wolf, the name, the aesthetic, saying it on your tights, I like it. I think he's somebody that has a lot of upside going forward. And Tamura, I totally agree with you that he has improved a lot over the last year or so. And I can't wait to see where these young guys go. I think that's going to be some of the most interesting points of All Japan going forward. That and Infance, I think those are really the top storylines for me. And Susumu, whenever he has matches, I don't even care about the booking or whatever. Just seeing him wrestle is that's enough of a positive to me to bring something to it. I can't wait to see those things. And yeah, I think the company up and down is doing some good things right now. It's a mixed bag, but I'm kind of like Noah. Like, it's kind of a mixed bag, like, you know, up and down, to be honest with you. But there are some good things, and I enjoyed the show that we just talked about.
Yeah, and much like Pro Wrestling Noah, we all have to wait and see how all the pieces fall eventually when things get back to normal.
Absolutely. I think that's a point that everyone needs to think about when we talk about these shows, is that they're, I don't want to say a holding pattern, because they are doing stuff, and both of the companies, or any company really, they are doing stuff, but things are going to take a turn one way or the other. Either keep going in this direction, or we're going to see some stuff that maybe is not working as much as we had hoped when the come back again. So, you know, maybe Noah, all this stuff that they've done will turn out to be a huge hit, or maybe people will be like, hey, what the, you know, what? Pretty much. And this All Japan stuff, maybe they won't take to some of the stuff that we like, or maybe they'll say, man, this Purple Haze stuff sucks, which is what that's what I hope happens. But maybe the fans will love that too. This will finally break through, bring Zeus through as the main event draw that we all wanted.
Yeah,
this will
think,
be perfect.
I don't think that's happening.
why am I always the positive one on these?
Always.
Are the things that I don't like, for the record. Like I said, see, so you're putting me in a position now to defend it. But I will say that you were right on that one. That's probably not going to happen. I'm just saying, maybe, Stringer, can I not have my one moment for my man Zeus?
I'll let you have your moment.
The god?
And he's
the god.
As much my man as your man, too, because I'm a big fan of his as well.
Yes, but the gimmick sucks. We can all agree on that. But yes, the point is maybe the fans will change things when it comes in. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah. So much for All Japan Pro Wrestling. Moving on to our final talking point of this show, Dramatic Dream Team. And there are a couple of news that I want to get into. DDT Universe, their streaming service, is now rebranding to Wrestle Universe. Of course, they brought in Pro Wrestling Noah as the package deal with the Cyber Agent now. They are owning both companies, and Noah is now being streamed on DDT Universe as well as on ABEMA TV. And they are now rebranding their service because there's not only DDT, but also Noah, and there's TGP, there is Ganbare Pro, and a lot of other stuff that they put up on there. So they just, basically the service is just, has just a different name. It's just, basically the same service. Still 900 yen a month, a great value, especially during these times, because much like these promotions that we already talked about, DDT is still producing content, and it looks like they are successful with it, because Zanshiro Takagi announced that the subscriptions have been up 30% since April.
That's great news, you know, for the company. There's no negative spin on it. I think that's a great for DDT. Maybe having a new, I don't want to say fresh coat of paint, but this new kind of thing with Noah coming in, maybe got some different types of people that never would have given DDT a look before. Now they're on this DDT Universe, now Wrestle Universe app. Mm-hmm. So I think that's great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So DDT keeping up their MT Arena shows, they announced that they will be continuing to do TV shows on May 30, June 13, which is the anniversary of Misawa's death, by the way. So it's going to be interesting what they do on that day. Then 6:20, and they will also run Wrestle Peter Pan on Wrestle Universe. It will be a two-day show on June 6 and June 7, which would have been their big summer show from Ryogoku, which had to be canceled, and they are doing that now on their service, so that is going to be very interesting as well. They're producing content, and the content, for the most part, has been very good. TJP is also returning. They will do a No People show at the end of the month, and it will be a pay-per-view on a service called OpenRec.tv, and I've not heard of that service yet. But it's certainly another interesting experiment that DDT does.
Yeah, I think there's no way. You just heard the numbers for Wrestle Universe going up so much. I think you can't doubt Cyber Agent and DDT's initiatives that they've got going on now with TJP following suit. I really have no idea about that pay-per-view service, to be honest with you. But hopefully you can get some new eyes on them. Again, maybe that's just another avenue for them, something to try. And they can do it right now. Things seem to be going good. And I'm happy to see it for everybody involved in DDT and the entire Wrestle Universe family.
Yeah. So DDT, in general, in my opinion, is a promotion that took to the MT Arena shows the best, because The DDT universe, the cosmos that DDT is set in, the general idea of DDT isn't as much sports-oriented as other companies like All Japan, Noah, and New Japan are, the more traditional companies, but it's a promotion that has always been a promotion with a comedic aspect to it, and so in my opinion, it works much better to present MT Arena shows to the audience, because the DDT audience is not a traditional pro wrestling audience. And they can do stuff like just switching in a match between Dancho Codino and Antonio Honda, where every kick in the groin is a belt sound, like they did on their last TV show. That just works with the DDT audience, and it doesn't come off like something that they only do for the MT Arena shows, but it's something that just feels like it's an original DDT idea. So they from the beginning have been doing that very well, and you can see that from the TV shows that they've done. They've done some great matches on these shows. I really, really liked the Daisuke Sasaki against Antonio Honda match on their first show for the Universal title, and was a even bigger fan of the Katsutada Higuchi versus Tetsuya Endo match that has a rating of 8.0 0-5 right now on Cage Match. Went 24 minutes, again a long empty arena match, but a very good one. Higuchi, ever since returning, he's just a beast.
Yeah, I've loved everything I've seen of Higuchi. Well, I just think everything Higuchi's done has been good for most of his career, but especially him coming back. I think he's looked really good.
Yep.
I haven't seen a lot of these DDT shows of the last week because something had hit the chopping block, and I just put King of Gate ahead of it, more or less. But I did watch a little bit of the third, and you have recommended me steadfastly the Yoshihiko matches on these shows, so I cannot wait to watch them. And I have to say, for some reason, out of all the things at DDT, the inanimate object wrestling is always up my alley when it comes to the comedy wrestling. So I'm for this, along with the Pokotan match as well. That was on one of these shows as well. So a lot of the comedy is more geared towards me on these empty arena shows. So I'm willing to give these a shot. I can't wait to look forward to them. And that match with Higuchi and Endo sounds really good. And everyone I saw on Twitter and everyone I saw on Cage Match really liked it.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Yoshihiko had a match with Akito that got lost. Akito won that match, but then Yoshihiko defeated Shunma Katsumata in a hardcore match that went all over the place in Shinjuku Face, where they did the show. Tremendous match. Shunma Katsumata bumped his ass off in this match. He, at one point, they were running over these tables. It's kind of a table and a barricade the same way, you know, in Shinjuku Face, where when they do the beer garden shows, a lot of people place their beers on. Katsumata ran over that. It's kind of like a bar or something like that. He ran over that and he basically did a running bulldog to himself, which was incredible. And he did more incredible stuff in the match as well. So awesome thing that he did, 7.56 on Cage Match. Also, I really liked from the second show, and we also have that in the match guide, again, Shunma Katsumata in a hardcore match against Chris Brooks, went 20 minutes, was great too, 6.93. And Masato Tanaka versus Yukio Sakaguchi for the KOD title, also from the second TV show. 7.82, a match that went 13 minutes, and that basically was what you'd expect between the two. Just a fight from the very beginning and a fight to the end. And the finish, in my opinion, was outstanding because Tanaka did the sliding D on Yukio Sakaguchi, but he kicked out. I think at one he kicked out. And he got up right away and got up into Tanaka's face, but then collapsed and lost the match by TKO. I thought it was a very interesting and unique finish to do in a very unique fashion, actually. I've never seen a finish like that in a major title match.
That sounds really cool. Like I said, I haven't seen any of the second show, but I definitely want to check that match out. That was something I looked forward to as soon as they announced it. And Tanaka's had a great run and gotten some great publicity as well for DDT. Again, he's another guy that I think, you know, you might want to point at for some improved subscriber numbers, is he's somebody that would attract a different audience than DDT. But he's gotten a lot of hype from a lot of the DDT viewers, and a lot of people know of him as well. So I think it really worked out well putting the title on him, and he's done a great job in his matches.
Absolutely. And then there is one match that you watched. It was the sixth match in the Saki Akai series. She has one match left in that series, and now she faced Saori Ano and beat her in 11:21. And the match went so well that we thought it would be a match to put in the match guide, and I think you liked it too.
I did. I thought it was a really solid match. I'm kind of coming around on Saki Akai, you know, in DDT and TJP. Last year, I really liked her character work more than anything.
Yeah, we talked about that last year too. Yeah. When I always said that in TJP she comes across better.
Yeah, and here at DDT though, this challenge series, seven match series, they put her against all kinds of interesting people. You know, like she had a match against Shuri. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a match against Miranda Gordy at one point on one of these shows. I'm looking at her cage match right now. So many people, Tsukasa Fujimoto at one point a while back. But I think she's really stood out in these matches. And this match with Ano, I think, might be the best one that I've seen her have. And Ano, I think, the world of anyway. But Saki Akai did her role well in this match. And Ano is somebody that I saw a lot of people that maybe didn't see her. She was in a small company, Actress Girls, before. But now she's getting the spotlight DDT. Fun fact, Ano also did some shots in All Japan as well, on the undercard.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the undercards there. So, an All Japan TJP square off between these two here. But I thought it was really good. I really liked Akai getting the win here. But Ano is somebody that, if you've never seen her before, I promise, keep your eye out for her if you're a DDT fan.
She's good.
You're a new fan. She's really good. Super charismatic. Great look. Knows how to carry herself well. Mm-hmm. Something that I think is really important. Someone like Ashino in All Japan, whatever you think of his size, his style of wrestling, whatever, he carries himself well, like a star. And I think Ano in the Joshi world carries herself like a star. And that's kind of hard sometimes, but she really seems like she's a star kind of player. Saki does as well. I think that's one of her, always been her positives. And I thought they came together to have a really solid, about 10, 11 minute match.
And, you know, you can have different opinions about the approach of wrestling that they do in OZ Academy with all the interferences and stuff. But, you know, ever since that Soriano has been going out to OZ Academy, I really saw that kind of character and that kind of carrying herself that you mentioned. So in that aspect of her general character, that has worked out well.
Yeah. She's been in OZ for a while. You know, she's been there before, but definitely more of a heelish edge, so to speak, because of the OZ work. But yeah, I think it's great. I think she's somebody, again, DDT fans, you want to keep your eye on her. She's really good. And Akai has really delivered on this series. So I'm proud of both of them.
Yep. So overall, it's, DDT Universe is really a great value. Just, before they started doing the TV shows, I went back and watched all the Ganbare Pro shows that are up there from earlier this year, from January to February. So that was a great ride, too. There is a lot of backlog that you can check out on, especially, of course, with Kota Ibushi and all the campground matches that they did. So check out Wrestle Universe if you haven't done so. And I'm looking forward to more DDT stuff, and I think you'll like most of it.
And Jun Akiyama made his debut on that show as well.
Yeah, right, because he couldn't be a coach in WWE. He's coming into DDT now.
I mean, obviously, the second best.
Cyber Agent once again saving Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, well, they brought in Akiyama here. I hope that he could continue to team with Keisuke Ishii, and that leads to something for that guy, because I love Ishii, never really used properly by DDT in my opinion, but this team with Akiyama says that maybe they have something for him, and Akiyama, maybe now he can be a coach just in DDT, pretty much. Maybe he can make a Ganbare Pro shot now that he can wrestle some of those guys.
He's a former Ironman champion, so...
That's right.
The door is open.
A very memorable win, too, when he put his hand on the title.
His elbow. I'm sorry, Dylan. His elbow.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was? The elbow.
Yeah.
Okay. So there. In reality, Akiyama delivered the people's elbow to deliver the title to the championship. But yeah, I think he could do some fun stuff. I think that's really cool. Maybe get somebody that can help you out in DDT doing great things, working with both Noah and All Japan as well. So I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of ground covered on this show. Lots of good stuff going on. Very interesting how things will develop for most of these groups that we now talked about. I don't know. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
No, I think we covered pretty much all of the main stuff going on right now. I'm looking forward to watching those DDT shows. And hopefully... You know, we see some more good stuff with All Japan and Noah. Like I said, I think they're at a really interesting cross-section of their timelines right now, where The future could go in many different ways when it comes to Noah and All Japan right now. So I'm really interested in both of those companies for a lot of reasons. But if you can, check out the King of Gate shows. And if you want, check out the Patreon as well. We're going over all the King of Gate and all kinds of cool stuff on there. But I've really been impressed with Dragon Gate. So right now, even though it's kind of crazy, I feel like I'm kind of a weirdo when it comes to wrestling, because this is the time that everyone is kind of, I feel like, down on wrestling almost because of the empty arena factor. But I actually think it's a really good time with a lot of stuff going on right now. A lot of things that I enjoy watching, even with the empty arena or whatever, I really like a lot of what I'm seeing so far. I think every company is on a positive note at the moment. I maybe some misgivings with some of the companies. Really, all of them. Like, none of them are perfect, really. Sure. But I really ultimately like all of these companies that we talked about today, and I think they're on a good path right now, which is maybe a unique take, right? in this.
No, even though we had some criticisms about Pro Wrestling Noah, I think that they still are delivering a mostly good product. So I'm looking forward to more what they put out. One other thing that I wanted to mention that I forgot, I wanted to talk about, was 2AW. They did a show too on May 10 from their own arena, of course, and they had a very, very good tag team title match in the main event with Kachi Tomato and Chango, who, by the way, are one of the best tag teams of the entire year right now, worldwide, that is.
Whole world?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They are really great. I love them.
I like them too. I was so surprised to see Chango after all these years get this unexpected push in the world of wrestling that nobody could have predicted in 2020. But Tomato, always been a good wrestler, sometimes a little too much in the gimmick and comedy stuff, but as a team, I think I've liked both of their matches that I've seen so far.
Yeah, so they, at this show that I mentioned, they defended the tag team title against Kengo Mashimo and Kunio Toshima in 27 minutes, actually. It was a very long match, but a very good one, too. So if you haven't seen that, check that out. And they are having another show on May 23rd, that is, in a couple of days, with Yuji Kobayashi defending the 2AW Openweight title against Tank Nagai. And Kaji Tomato and Shango once again defend the tag team title against Dinosaur Takuma and Kyu Mogami. So that should be fun, too.
Yeah, totally. I also want to mention, you mentioned Tank Nagai. I really liked his match on the show, too. They had the Cinemate Event match with the tag team Ayato Yoshida and Tank Nagai versus Tempest of Shu Asakawa and Ayumu Honda. I thought they had a really nice match.
Yeah, I liked that match too. So overall, it was another good show. Another just a sub-2-hour show that you can just basically do nothing wrong when you watch the show. So if you can find that, check that out. And Dylan said it. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. There will be more stuff in the coming weeks, I'm sure about that. And as for now, this has been the Eastern Lariat. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.